headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Ken Coleman, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us at Open Phones, 888-825-5225. Dustin is on the line in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Dustin. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call, you guys.
Sure. What's up?
So I got the situation, and I'm wondering if I should be backpedaling or how to adjust myself to get myself probably where I should be versus where I am. I have a commercial property. I have no consumer debt, you know, other than these two properties. And I have a commercial property that I owe $250 on. It's worth about $800. Brings in about $4,300 a month. And I also have a little residential rental that I owe $350 on and is worth $425. That one brings in about $1,800. And my income with my job is about $80,000. And right now we rent, and it's $750 a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm just wondering if I should maybe sell one of these, and or like I'm saying, I just want to know if I should be backpedaling a little to do this in a more appropriate way. You know, now listening to you so much, you know.
Well, if you've been listening a bunch, you know I love real estate, and So whatever move you make, you can make gradually, or select your timing if you want to. But I will tell you, the data that we have of working with millionaires and studying millionaires says they have a paid for home and any real estate that they own is paid for. Now, they didn't start there necessarily like I would teach, but that's eventually where they got to. And so, like you said, can I make some moves to get that direction? Why are you renting?
I was given an opportunity, and I'll call it that, even though I'm paying rent, with a extremely wealthy person who had a home that accommodated my family a little bit more than where we were, and the reasonable rent rate versus the value there, I would not be able to duplicate even buying it, you know, from where I was coming from. And so we're doing that, and she's grateful that we're there, and I'm taking care of this property. So it's just kind of like a win-win for both of us. And I just figured it would, that $750 a month would allow me to be able to kind of push more into this, because I really, ideally, I think my long-term thing is to be kind of landlord, property management. Right now I work for an excavation company, so almost, you know, different end of that spectrum.
Yeah. And so the house that, the other house that's a rental, was that your personal residence?
It was not, no.
So you sold it.
I had actually sold it. That's the thing. I had the paid for home, which I had bought and then fixed and flipped, and it was paid for. But then, like I said, this opportunity came up to go into this rental, and I thought maybe that would be a good place for us to kind of move into and then focus on trying to get this other ball rolling. But then realizing I probably should have done it where I paid for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's okay. So here's where I want you to be in 5 years.
Okay.
Living in your own residence that you paid cash for.
Okay.
Or paid off. Okay. And all the other real estate that you own is paid for.
Okay. That,
if I were in your shoes, that's where I would want to be in 5 years. Now, what incremental steps get us there most likely? And you got a weird situation with this rental. You can leverage that some, stay there a little while. I mean, so you could hypothetically sell the other house and then work on paying off the commercial property and then work on piling up some cash right quick to pay cash for your residence. Because I know this, how old are you today?
33.
Yeah, so when you're 80, you don't want to be renting from a rich lady.
No.
Yeah, so you want to have some kind of a plan. That's what I'm thinking about here, to move away from that. For a little while, that's an okay play. But for...
Yeah, well, even the mental state it gives you of owning, it's just the pride and ownership. I put it into the rental, but you just don't feel the same.
By the way, when it goes up in value, she wins, you don't.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's the other reason I want you to be the owner of your residence. But I mean, I'm not panicked about it. Like you have to just, like you did something stupid and you need to jump around and thrash around, do something real fast. But I would say, okay, what are the steps I'm going to take? Am I going to buy a property first that I live in? Am I going to sell this other property and pay the commercial off? The commercial feels like it's under rented.
Slightly.
Yeah, the rate of return on $800,000 with $4,300 is not enough.
Well, I bought it for $415.
I don't care. It's what it's worth today is what it should be rented based
today.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm too generous, I guess, in that sense.
Well, that's not generous. That's just bad business. Generous is I gave money to charity, not I gave it to a tenant.
To a business.
Yeah.
Profit.
Yeah, so
okay.
We're not trying to be a hawk and be greedy or rub somebody's nose in something, but we keep our rents at market on our rental properties because our job is to manage them well. And like you said, you want to be a landlord later instead of being in the excavation business. So you're going to learn to do that. So, yeah, you got some lease renewal discussions to happen on this commercial property, and then you got to decide, okay, what are my next steps with this other property? I'm going to sell it and throw it at the commercial. I'm going to sell it and use it to buy into my new residence and then get my residence paid off and then get the commercial paid off. What process are you going to use to where 5 years from today, whatever you own and wherever you live you own is debt-free 100%? But by giving you the five-year mark, that's not to let you off the hook of doing something. It's to say you can do this gradually.
Yeah, I think it's the right target. You know, you look at both of these, you know, the commercial, the residential. I was just curious, if you're in his shoes, which one do you tend to lean toward? He's got his own timeline, but I'm looking at that to go, I'm selling one of those to fast forward this plan.
If I can get the rents on the commercial to where it's a reasonable rate of return based on the value, then I'm keeping it. It's going to be easier to manage. It's a bigger piece of property. It's going to go up in value.
Right.
And so I, you know, prefer commercial because of that. But I've got a bunch of houses, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so as your portfolio of real estate grows, houses start to be a smaller portion of it usually. But he's sitting on this thing, so I'm going to move out of that house in terms of which one I would sell personally.
Sure.
But I don't care. Which one do you want to own?
That's
you know,
right.
I mean, it's your deal. So the point is none of them are in the dumb column. Let's just make sure we're getting the most rent we can out of every one of them, and let's get this ball moving in the right direction. So lay out a game plan and say, okay, 6 months from now, here's what we're going to do. 18 months from now, here's what we're going to do. 24 months from now, here's what we're going to do. And here are the steps. And based on that, I'm going to start making these moves given this real estate market, and great real estate market, by the way, in your area. Phoenix is just hotter than a firecracker, no pun intended. This is The Ramsey Show. Real estate market and how hot it is right now. We are doing on July the 14th a live stream about the real estate market. Everybody's upset about it. Everybody's scared about it. Everybody's excited about it. Everybody's talking about it. So we think we should do the same. So we're going to do that. It's called the Real Estate Reality Check. We launched it today. The live stream is free. Yeah, you heard me. Free. We're not charging for it. So George Camel, Rachel Cruz, and I will unpack everything for you about prices going down. Is the housing market going to crash? Is this a reboot of the 2008 recession? Are you going to see something similar? What about inflation? What about recession? What about my house price? Should I wait for house prices to go down to buy? Spoiler alert, no. And here's the thing. We're not going to participate in the fear porn of the news networks. We're just going to give you the actual facts, and we'll do it in line with historical perspective, which is the only way you can analyze these trends properly. You cannot analyze them when you put your hand up so close in front of your face that you can't see. You have to back out, pan back, zoom out until you get a full view of what's really going on. And then you go, oh, in light of that, I don't have to be so scared. Real estate reality check. Have your friends that think we're going to hell in a handbasket watch. This is free because we're not. RamseySolutions.com/reality check. RamseySolutions.com/reality check. Also, something else going on around here. Dr. John Deloney's new, we've got new versions of the Questions for Humans. These conversation starter card packs are amazing. You know, we've sold about 50,000 of these things. It's crazy. It's awesome. I'm so excited. I didn't think it would be this big, but it's huge. You guys are buying these conversation cards like crazy. People don't know how to talk to each other, and this is a way to get the conversation started. Now we've got four new types: a girls' night pack, a guys' night pack, a dating for people who are dating, parents and teens, and a workplace edition. Questions for Human cards are now at RamseySolutions.com, brand new set. Our question of the day comes from Blinds.com. Find out for yourself why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Free samples, free shipping, and new promos all the time. Use the promo code Ramsey.
Today's question comes from Rita, New Jersey. I am a Java programmer. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
I feel like that was a little above my pay grade.
No, you did it.
Yeah, there it is. And I've been with the same company for almost 10 years. I earn $96,000 with bonuses. I recently realized that my salary is low for my experience and education. Other companies are offering an average of $130,000. I want to look for another job, but I'm not sure this is the right time. My husband and I are hoping to have a second child sooner than later. My husband is also starting a new job this month, and I'm afraid it may be too late for me to make this change since I'm in my late 30s.
Oh, God, you're about to die any minute.
Yeah, there's a pattern
here. Late 30s, how do you make it? A wheelchair, it'll hold you back.
That's right. We have a year's worth of money saved, which would help with the risk of taking a new job.
Why is there a risk?
And she finishes with, should I look for other opportunities at this stage of my life? So three times now we've heard, it may be too late since I'm in my late 30s at this stage of my life. So a lot of fear over something, Rita, that you don't need to be afraid of. First of all, you're in your prime. So there's nothing about being too late. You are absolutely in your prime, your most marketable time, over the next decade and a half. So I don't know what you're afraid of other than rejection. And it's normal when we take on change, which is the unknown. And so what you have to do is just focus on what you know, that you can get as much as $130,000, according to your research, which is a significant bump. It's 34 grand in bump based on what you do, your experience, and your talent. So I would go for it. You never know when the baby's coming or not. And so I wouldn't wait. I would take the opportunity now to move up in income and give yourself a ladder financially. I just...
Now.
The fear is, you've said it's about being in your late 30s, and that's an excuse. You're afraid to put yourself out there, and so what we do is we manufacture some real excuses so that we can feel better about pausing or holding off, and
now,
it's a crutch.
Rita, when you take the new job, before you take it, I want you to make very sure that the quality of people inside the company is excellent, that these are good humans and you want to be with them every day because you're going to spend a lot of time with them. And so you don't want to get more money but go into a toxic cesspool of humanity. And that can happen. And programmers sometimes forget to understand the quality of culture that you're working in matters. The other thing you don't want to do is, if you're working 40 hours a week now, you don't want to go to a place that expects you to work 80 hours a week. And so you need to have real clarity on the culture of the organization, the quality of the humans you're going to be around, and what the work hour expectation is. And one more thing, we want to be comfortable that this company you're going to work for is not some startup and they're running it out of their back pocket and they're about to go broke any minute, but they pay a lot today. But they're not going to live through next Friday. Okay, so if they're financially stable, it's a solid company, and they've got really good people in a really good environment, and you move up, there is nothing to fear in the change. And if you move from, you know, move up $30,000, $40,000 in income, that's nothing to fear at all. You wouldn't worry about that at all. That's like saying I drive a $500 pickup, and I have the opportunity to go buy a $35,000 paid cash, you know, brand new Ford F-150 loaded to the max, and you know, which you probably can't get for $35,000. But anyway, the but whatever, you know, you go get a much nicer car. People don't dread change when it's better.
That's right.
And so, when it's an upgrade,
that's right. And to your point, you have to look into it. You have to put yourself out there and discover, you know, what's out there. Is it a healthy culture? And they'll do it, you know.
And Ken, I'm seeing this with people in the marketplace now with so much change in the job, you know, the great resignation, people moving to other places and working. And I've seen it with friends, and I've actually seen it with people that left Ramsey a time or two. I've seen it with other places, and they didn't do a good analysis of what they were going to.
That's right.
And they get in, they get themselves in with a group that they don't like being around, and it's bad people. Mm-hmm. And the only variable that they upgraded in was the money variable. And then, but they lose control of their life. They're working too many hours. They're working for doofuses. And then they regret making the decision. And yep. People fear making a bad decision. But if you do your research, take your time in the interview process. Work the process. If you can make $30,000 or $40,000 more in a place the similar number of hours that's as good or better people and they're financially stable, yes, you should do that.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. And you're absolutely right. We are seeing a lot of people. There's now a term for them called boomerang employees. They're looking to come back to companies. And the caution here is that we want you to make more money, and you should be able to make more money. However, as Dave has pointed out, if you chase just a bigger paycheck, that paycheck high wears off if you are in a toxic culture with moron leaders who don't value you. You will not last. You will not last. And you have to look at the entire picture and make sure that you're not leaving just for a bigger paycheck, but for opportunity that's going to make your entire life better.
Yeah, the other thing that's boomeranging is this: the person who thought they wanted to work from home.
Yes,
and
very lonely.
They're heading out there. They're lonely, and they found out that, by the way, working from home actually means you also work. Sometimes it's code for I don't want to work much. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're working from home now. You're trying to do computer programming with a 3-year-old screaming, which is really hard to do. Yep. By the way,
one other trend:
working from home is not like. It's not like Nirvana, and people are discovering this. It's got all kinds of downside.
One other quick trend I want to point out on this point, Dave, is we're seeing that they're not getting promoted as much, out of sight, out of mind, as companies are returning back to the workplace. You know, leaders are going to promote people that they're interacting with a little bit more. We're seeing this in the data, so this is a real risk as well.
Yeah, you take yourself off the market. Wow. Yeah, we're seeing people come back from other jobs that were bad. We're seeing them come back from work from home. They don't come back to Ramsey because we have a policy we don't rehire. We figure the reason you left is the reason you'll screw us and leave again. So, you know, once you're gone, we love you. Go to work somewhere else. This is The Ramsey Show. Coleman Ramsey Personality is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us, America. We're glad you're here. Mike and Brett are with us in Wilmington, North Carolina. I see on my screen you're debt-free. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're so excited. We're huge fans.
Well, we're honored. How much have you paid off?
We've paid off $87,000 in a total of 2.5 years.
Good for you. Way to go. And your range of income during that time?
We started at about $76,000 and worked our way up to $95,000.
Excellent. What do you guys do for a living?
I'm a hairstylist.
And I'm a warranty supervisor for a new home builder in the area.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Good for you guys. What kind of debt was the $87,000?
Pretty much all your normal stuff. $25,000 in credit card, $15,000 in student loans, $32,000 on a truck, and then another $15,000 on another vehicle we had.
Oh, my goodness. How long y'all been married?
8 years.
So what happened? What happened 3 years ago that got you going on this Ramsey stuff?
Well, we got pregnant with our daughter, and we kind of had a health crisis with myself and with her during that time. And then COVID shut us down, and then I was out of my job for a period of time due to the health problem and our daughter's health issues combined with the COVID shutdown. So we really had pretty much of a massive wall that we hit, you know. So luckily, Mike here was able to keep going to work during that time. But that kicked us in gear for sure to align our lives so that we wouldn't fall down like that ever again.
Wow. They just flashed pictures up on YouTube channel of the baby. How little was she when she was born?
She was 2.5 pounds.
Okay.
And she was born with a cleft lip. And so she had some hurdles to get through. She had her first surgery when she was 6 months. And that was about the time I started work back as well. And so now we're happy to say that we're all healthy. And now she is about 23 pounds and she is just living her best life. She's so happy, and we are too. So we're really happy to be talking to you today.
Amen. You guys have been through it. That was quite a journey you've been in the middle of everything else. I mean, COVID, you get the issues with the birth, and on top of that, we got all this pile of debt you got to work through. So y'all been busy.
Yes, we buckled down, and we have not stopped, that's for sure.
Yeah, when I hear stories like this, I just have to ask, were there some days and nights where you thought, I don't think we can get through this?
Well, I mean, I don't think Mike cried in front of me. I definitely, I'm kind of a crier, so I had a couple moments, you know, but you have those moments, and you wake up the next day, and you say, I'm just going to do everything I can do, and you pray about it, and you just keep moving forward, and that eventually, you know, it all has come out in the wash, I guess, is the way you could put it. We've been very fortunate with a lot of hard work and a lot of praying, for sure.
Well done. We're proud of you. What do you tell people the key to getting out of debt is, now that you've done it?
Budgeting is, first of all, the best key. Also, you have to be on the same page with your significant other about finances and budgeting as well. As you always say, it's we once you get married and not I, his, or hers. We're all together, and that's just the keys.
Yeah, I want to add, too, that leading up to this, I did have some savings that I had worked for, and I didn't view our finances as ours. I was very used to just being independent and him having his and me having mine. And once I got over the hurdle and saying, okay, we're literally, whatever we bring home goes in the same bucket, you know, that changed a lot, for sure. So I would say just kind of getting in that mentality, you know, you're a team and you're not an individual, you know?
You know, it makes the money issue, the efficiency of your paycheck higher. You get more use of it that way. But the other thing that happens is it forces you to come together in your relationship, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Way to go, you two. Way to go. We're very, very proud of you. Congratulations. And how's your baby doing now?
She's doing great. She's doing great. We just went on our first paid-for vacation in 3 years. And she had the time of her life, and we were with friends, and we didn't use a credit card the whole time. And she went on water slides, and she laughed, and she played, and she stayed up late and ate all the bad food. And so I'm happy to say she is doing wonderful.
That's
absolutely
great.
Wonderful.
Praise God. That's awesome. Well done. Good stuff. Yay. I love a good end to a story like this. Wonderful. Hey, we got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That's the next chapter in your story. We want you to go on and be millionaires now and be outrageously generous and have a blast and just blow this thing wide open. You are doing so great. Also, a copy of Total Money Makeover for you to give away to someone and get somebody else going on this same journey that you guys have been on. And Financial Peace University, a year subscription to that on Ramsey Plus. And you can give that away to someone as well, or you guys go through it, either one, whatever you want to do. The brand new videos are out. I'm sorry?
We're going to give that right to my mom. We are very excited. She's sitting right here with us, so she's excited. get started.
Perfect. Well, this is brand new videos, and it's the best the class has ever been right now. They're absolutely incredible. So we're very, very proud of them. Congratulations, you two. Very well done. Whoop, 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 whoop. All right. It's Mike and Brett, Wilmington, North Carolina. $87,000 paid off in 2.5 years while they took a ride on the adventure train. Making that's 76 right. to 95. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
Where's that free?
I love it. Woo! That's how it's done right there, man. Absolutely incredible. Very well done, you guys. Very well done. Hey, we appreciate you. Good stuff. Good stuff. Ken, there is something that is beyond mathematical measure when a married couple decides to work together.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's when they come together and you see a couple, whether it be in an area of parenting, maybe it's just their relationship or certainly finances, it is special. And you see the power of two people coming together. You know, there's something to that. There's an old story about this, actually data, it's actually real information on how much two oxen can pull together versus one. And, you know, we see this in nature and just the force of two people coming together to pull together and make unbelievable change in their life. And as you've said many times, generational change, changing your family tree. Here's another young couple that are changing their family tree. And funny enough, they take the gift of FPU and they're like, we're giving it to mom. And so they're leading up, you know, in that way. They've modeled the way for mom. And now they're going to, you know, be a force of good for mom, too. Not just affecting their daughter, but now their mother.
Yeah, it changes everything. I think it bleeds over into the area you talk about all the time, career as well.
Sure.
While career feels like my job, her job, my job, his job, there's something that happens when you're involved, not necessarily physically working at the same office, I don't mean that, but where you actually are you know, knit. Woven into yes. the career path and the decisions and the good and the bad at work.
Oh, yeah.
And how that carries forward and the support. And when your biggest, best cheerleader is at home.
That's right.
When you get home at night and maybe you both went to work and then both of you come home and you're sitting there and your cheerleader's at dinner with you.
That's correct.
That changes everything versus, you know, nagging and tearing down and belittling and everything else. It changes everything.
Well, think about this. If you're in the career you want to be in and you're on your path, but you've got all this financial trouble, you look at your job and your leader as just a solution to your money problems. When you finally, as a couple, come together and you fix that, think about how it allows you to focus on your work and be a better employee and set your own path and become so much more promotable.
Yep.
There's so much benefit to financial peace.
Changes everything. This is the Ramsey Show. Scripture of the day, Psalm 31:24. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Winston Churchill said, if you're going through hell, keep going. I thought that was Blake Shelton.
That's good.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe I got the wrong country artist anyway, but yeah. It seemed like there's a song to that effect.
There good might stuff. Be.
Yeah. It's, Jake is in Phoenix. Hey, Jake, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing this afternoon?
Better than we deserve. What's up?
Yeah, well, thanks for taking my call. I got two quick questions, one for Ken, one for you, Dave. Dave, I'll start with you. Quick background, my wife and I are debt-free, and we're currently in baby step 3 and expecting our first baby after a difficult 2 years. And my question is I have a 2009 F-150 that has a 36-gallon fuel tank, and we're going back to a hybrid schedule for my current job. And one of our biggest expenses right now is gas. And I know everyone's affected by this.
You're going back to a hybrid schedule for your current job.
Yeah,
you're losing hours?
I'm sorry, I didn't elaborate that very well. I'm currently going to back in the office 2 days a week, and I've been working from home the last two years or so.
Okay. Hybrid meaning part at home, you part at work. I got you. Okay.
Yes, sir. You got it. And so long story short, with gas prices in the large fuel tank, I think last month alone we spent $1,150 just on gas. And so I'm contemplating selling my truck. It's paid off, obviously. But just kind of trying to figure out if that's a smart thing to do right now. We, like I said, we recently became debt free, which has been awesome.
What's your household income?
Household income net is $11,000 a month. And then my wife is planning on going part time in December when we have our big boy. Mm-hmm. So.
And how much of the $11,000 is hers?
Out of the $11,000, let's see here, she's about $6,000 of it.
Okay, so you're gonna lose 25% of your income. All right, and $1,100. You're driving a long way to work. You're not even going to work every day.
You know, it just my wife and I have been going through fertility treatment, and our baby that we're having is an IVF baby. And dealt with recurrent miscarriages, so we've had a lot of driving to certain doctors that aren't really close.
Okay, so it's not about work then. It was about all of that.
Yeah, that I think that's been a part of it too. And then now I'm trying to take into account going back into the office now. You know, we're spending
how far
on
do you
gas
drive to the office? To work.
It's about 40 miles round trip.
Okay, so that's not an $1,100 bill. The $1,100 bill had to do with all the doctor runs.
Right.
Which are not ongoing. So you don't make a long-term decision based on a short-term problem. Now, if you have a long-term problem because you're spending $1,100 going to work, then that would be something else. But you're not going to continue these doctor runs at this rate when baby comes, right?
Right. Just now it'll be office.
Yeah, which won't be anywhere near $1,100. Unless you have the world's worst F-150, but the what's your F-150 worth?
It's probably worth around like $23,000.
Okay, and, so if you sold it, what price range car would you buy?
Part of me wants to buy a vehicle equal in value that gets better gas mileage. Part of me wants to buy a $10,000 vehicle. Or, you know, maybe even $15,000 vehicle that gets better gas mileage, and then pocket the rest of the funds, as our emergency funds only at $1,000 right now just from paying off debt and recently becoming debt free and getting ready for the baby.
Yeah. I, if you're going to be equal or move down and you're going to save on a gas bill, then there's no reason not to do it unless you just love the truck. I wouldn't worry about it. You know, but if you're using, some people use this stuff as an excuse. I want to move to from a $23,000 car to a $50,000 Tesla because gas bill's killing me. Well, you're never going to make up that in your lifetime. So that's ridiculous math. But you're talking about moving equal or down. I'm fine with that. David is in Topeka, Kansas. Hi, David. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Dave.
Sure.
How are you doing?
Great. How can we help?
Well, I'm at a crossroads right now, and I wanted to get your advice and also Ken's. I'll try to explain this as simply as I can. So I'm thinking about a career change. I'm in school right now going for occupational health and safety, and I am about 18 months from graduating, but I've seen my pay at work go down. Recently, I was making about $5,000 before taxes per month. Now I'm below $4,000, and we're on baby step three right now. It's paused, but we're still trying to save a little bit and cash flow my college expenses. But we're thinking about downsizing again. That way we can keep cash flowing my college expenses and keep our housing expenses below 25%. But I'm scared of pulling out of the market just to price ourselves out of the next home.
Why aren't we focused on getting a different day job, or what we would call, when I say day job, meaning it's keeping you stable right now. You've seen a decrease in pay. We're in a tremendous job economy. Why is your mindset not on that?
I'm trying to leave. One of the reasons I went back to college is I'm trying to get out of that job.
I'm with you.
So leave that job and go get a job that pays $5,000 or $6,000.
Yeah, we got 18 months before you're ready for the occupational.
And maybe
job.
They even pay for your college at the new place, and maybe you even get a job in the field, but you're not quite in the field yet. But they're going to pay for you to finish up and be working for them doing the thing.
Yeah, no, I went out of my comfort zone and I applied for a position about 2 weeks ago, and I'm waiting to hear back. And that would still be the entry level position would be about $60,000 before taxes per year.
Great, that's the right direction. So I don't know what your question was for me. Was it related to that? But that's where I want your focus right now. Is this becomes intense focus on getting a better paying job, because there's nothing about you and your body language and what I'm hearing and your words that says downsizing on the house again is something you're actually really excited about doing.
No, I don't think I wouldn't do that. I would upsize on my job again.
Yes.
So the actual degree you're going to get will have you working in what field?
The safety field, you can work in any number of industries.
I know. What's your dream? Right, what's your dream position? Why are you doing this? What do you want to do when you graduate?
I want to help people, work safer, have a safer work environment.
I get that. But I mean, what's the job? What's the dream job? Yeah. What are you going to be doing?
I'd like to work in the construction industry.
Ah, there we go. Okay, why don't you go get a job in the construction industry now, in the safety thing, and working for a company that will pay for you to finish your school and pays you more money in the meantime. That's like A position right there.
Yeah.
B position is go to work doing anything, making 70,
that's right,
while you finish up.
Yeah, well, I actually like where you're going. A is what Dave suggested, but if you can't get in the safety type of work in construction, just get in construction. You know, because now we're there. We're in proximity in the field. Now we're making connections for 18 months and making better money. So that when we come out of there, we hopefully have established the connections to be able to get the actual position that you want. But I'm telling you right now, your number one focus is better paying job. That's gonna give you tremendous relief, and I'd love to see you get in the construction field. I think that is such a strategic move. You know, when you make that move, all of a sudden you're making all these connections every day, not just getting a better paycheck. That's the best move. Yeah, but
the triple A move is you go to work for the company you're going to work for anyway.
And you get
your foot in the door, and they pay for college tuition.
That would be fantastic.
And you make more money. This is AAA.
I like that. Triple A rating, Dave.
That's the way to move right there. Yep. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Ken Coleman, good show. Austin, Ben, Zach, Andrew, James in the booth. I am Dave Ramsey, your host. We'll be back with you before you know it. In the meantime, remember, there's ultimately only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Did you know The Ramsey Show is one of the most popular podcasts in the world? Get your daily dose of advice on life and money. Check out all of our shows from The Ramsey Network wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from The Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Everyday Millionaires.
Ordinary people built extraordinary wealth, and you can too. On Everyday Millionaires, you'll learn how millionaires live on less than they make, avoid debt, invest, and are disciplined and responsible. Listen to Everyday Millionaires wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.